Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview of the second leg of Chelsea taking on Middlesbrough in a game where we're 1-0 down. I still can't believe that's the case. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. And hopefully it's one where we look to reach a League Cup final because bloody hell, we need to. 1-0 at the Riverside, looking to get ourselves back into it in the second leg. And not a lot else we can say about that, really. Just me and Tom tonight, looking to get ourselves up and excited for this game. And Act 1, as always, is the fun part. And I haven't read what it is yet. And what the fuck, Tom? What is my favourite northern item of food?
Well, you say what the fuck, but we did a Middlesbrough preview like a week ago. And I don't really know how I'm supposed to come up with two separate ideas. So I thought, we both like food. Let's talk about it. Northern items of food. Now, this may offend some Middlesbrough fans, but if you listen to this, you listen to the wrong podcast. You should be listening to Borough.
Sorry, are they from Yorkshire
now? Yes. Yes, they are indeed from Yorkshire. We're going to talk about our favourite northern item of food. And I have a feeling it might be the same. And I have a feeling it might not, in fact, be at all from Middlesbrough, but actually from this small town called Newcastle. But, yeah. Louis, what's your favourite northern item of food? What a weird question.
I mean, right now, considering when I was in Greg's yesterday and I got recognised from the pod. I got recognised by a listener, mate. That was a big experience. So thank you to this fella, by the way, who gave me a Greg steak bake for 10p. Gave me a discount. Legend. So right now it's a steak bake. Or a friend of mine, she told me about it and she said it's underrated, you need to try it. Sausage, bean and cheese melt.
Yes. I'm so glad you said the sausage, bean and cheese melt. A horrendously underrated commodity in the Greg's chain of foods. Shout out to the sausage roll, obviously, but that's the classic. The sausage, bean and cheese melt just has a little bit more to it, namely the cheese and the bean.
I was going to say, yeah, items. Obviously. I had it and I was like, okay. Do you know, I feel like I want to try it with some brown sauce. I think that might make the difference.
Ooh. I don't know how I feel about that. But I do have a question, and I know it's now mid-January, so the festive season is well and truly beyond us, but have you ever had a festive bake?
I have had a festive bake, but I've not had them for a very, very long time. Like, last time I had a festive bake, I think I was at school. So, I don't know, the quality might have changed post-Brexit, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah. I recommend the next festive season, when they're back out, get yourself down to your nearest Greg's and have one, because they're good. I only had one this year, and it was the favourite part of my festive season. That's a complete lie, but there we go. Okay, that's the end of that discussion. Now, should we talk about some football?
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about some football. We'll get straight into it. Obviously, the history of the fixture and stat shaggers, but obviously that is Tom usually giving his cue so he can actually talk about it. Let's play the intro. Ladies and gentlemen, it's stat shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents stat shaggers.
Yes, that's right, everyone. It's your favourite part of the show. And remember last time, when we spoke about Middlesbrough, I sadly was having to do this by voice note form due to my laptop collapsing, which I blame for that game being a defeat. So I'm back now. Don't worry.
People blame it for other things, to be fair, as well, mate. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, okay. This is an ongoing joke. Louis's actually been my biggest defender, but with Tobes not being here, he has to play both roles. Devil on one shoulder, angel on the other. Anyway, let's not go into that. Let's actually talk about football for the first time in this podcast. Nearly 5 minutes in, we're back to our old ways of tangents galore. So, Middlesbrough, let's talk about them. That disappointing defeat for Chelsea in the first leg of this League Cup semi-final was actually our first defeat to Borough in 17 years. Now, I've previously mentioned, and we actually did it in the last Middlesbrough preview, if you want to listen to that, maybe just listen to the first bit before it gets a bit depressing when the lads talk about the prospect of winning that leg, and obviously we didn't. But there were some Barclays ballers mentioned, and I think one of the biggest Barclays ballers Middlesbrough have ever had is a certain Mark Viduka.
Mark Viduka played for him?
Yes, he did. Oh, and he also scored in that game in the 90th minute to seal the 2-1 win. Now, I did mention that in the last podcast, so I'm not going to go into that too much, but he did score in the 90th minute to win that game in August 2006, back in the Premier League. That was the last time before 2 weeks ago we actually did lose to Middlesbrough, so 17 whole years. In the gap between those two defeats, we played them nine times in both the Premier League and the FA Cup. won all of them, obviously, but also didn't concede a single goal. So that's how dominant we have been over Middlesbrough in that time. But
was that siren for the fact that it might be an ambulance for Chelsea, or because they're trying to find your laptop?
Because I live on a main road, and so they come. My window is shut. That's just how it is, I'm afraid. Enjoy the sounds of the police. Whoop, whoop. In terms of the League Cup and these two sides, there is actually a decent tranche of history. Now, I think I mentioned this as well last time. Frank Sinclair, Roberto Di Matteo scoring extra time goals in the final at Wembley, 1998, to lift the cup under Gianluca Vialli. Now, I'm going to delve into this a little bit more because I don't want to talk about it too much, as I will have done it and I don't want to repeat myself. But I, and I think also Louis, although, you know, it depends if he's Louis or Lee, that's the difference between how old he actually is. But I don't remember that game at all because I was 4 weeks old. So, yes, I know, a bit of a plastic fan.
I was 5 months old.
So Louis was there on the pitch. But to some older fans, that team will likely or possibly will be known as sort of their good old days team. Like people my age and Louis' age will look at sort of the Mourinho era team as their good old days team now. So, yeah, the final last League Cup defeat before the one the other day, you'd have to go back all the way to the 1970. I mean, realistically, only fans in their sort of mid-60s and up will have actually had a shot at remembering a taste of League Cup defeat to Middlesbrough. Until now. Now we can all join in that and revel in that sweet, sweet, bitter, miserable taste of Middlesbrough defeat. Recently, Middlesbrough, as with many sides in the Championship, have been a bit here, a bit there and a bit everywhere under Michael Carrick. As we say about the Championship every season, it is a bonkers league. And as a result, even though Borough have lost 12 games this season, that's even more than we have, and that says something, they sit only 1 point outside the playoffs, where, of course, they experienced heartbreak last season, which saw the mighty Luton come into the Premier League. Even we managed to beat them twice. Middlesbrough failed to begin 2024 quite with the bang they would have hoped for. They did lose on New Year's Day to Coventry. They then lost to our FA Cup fourth round opponents, Aston Villa, in the third round. And then they, of course, got it right in the third game and beat Chelsea, which gives them something tangible to hold on to as they head to Stamford Bridge. And, you know, they came down to London at the weekend and they comfortably beat Millwall 3-1 as well. So they're enjoying their sort of London clashes at the moment. And as we've said and we've spoken about before, and we saw actually at the Riverside, Middlesbrough fans and Middlesbrough players will be on cloud nine at the moment. And Rotherham, who they play this weekend, are unlikely to hamper that confidence. And realistically, they're going to be nothing more than a speed bump. So Chelsea will have to be on it to overcome this deficit. Middlesbrough will be confident. They're probably going to be coming off a three-game win streak. So if we want to get to Wembley, we're going to have to play well. And now I will hand it back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Tom, for that fantastic lowdown. And the police obviously coming straight into your flat. I can see a SWAT team right behind you, so we'll crack on quickly.
Shit.
And we'll jump straight into the Echo 11, which is mine and Tom's decision to pick a team which we think can score more than one goal, which is going to be a struggle.
Don't we have that
enough,
do we?
We'll talk about it in analysis at the end, but obviously there's been some big transfer news today. If you're not following the Chelsea Echo, what are you doing? Because obviously we've been posting that transfer news quite regularly. Two bits, which are quite popular. One involves Karim Benzema, one involves Armando Broya, but we'll talk about those later. But with the Echo 11, we'll get straight into it. In goal, Petri Dish, I think that's a given.
Yep.
So basically, we'll get that sorted. That's off the table, that's done. No need to say anything else. Back four. Now, they made it very clear when they picked their team, and even Carrick said it in the post-match presser, that they targeted Levi Colwill at left-back because he was the weak point of the team and he's not a left back. So I'd say we'd pick a left back, but we don't have another left back. So what do we do?
Well, it's either play... There are three options and I don't like any of them. We either play Colwill again and hope, you know, doing the same thing over and over again works eventually. Or we play Chilwell, who's not fully fit and Pochettino doesn't think he's a left back. Or we play Gusto at left back, which then means we have to play you know, we don't have a right back. Those are the three options. I honestly don't know which one's the best one. If Chilwell's fit enough, I'd play him, but we know that Poch won't. A, play him at left back, and B, he won't start him, I don't think, yet. So, for this, actually, we don't care about what he's actually going to do. This is the Echo 11. I would play Chilwell at left back. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree. But then in reality, what we're probably going to see is Colwill.
But, oh, yeah. I'd
say the lesser of the three evils is definitely playing Gusto at left back. And because I think you could play Gilchrist at right back because he's got the mobility to do it.
Yeah, you could. You could.
But I mean, this is the Echo 11. It's Ben Chilwell has to be. Just play your left back at left back. It's amazing what happens when players play in their positions. So we've got Ben Chilwell left back, Malo Gusto right back, just by process of elimination. Two centre halves.
He's playing well. Thiago Silva has to be. Got to have that experience, and he's playing quite well at the moment. And then maybe Colwill at left centre back, where he, you know, played really well for Brighton last year.
It'd be amazing.
Just a thought of playing, you know, the players in their position. I know it's crazy, but it's an idea I've had. So that's what I would do. Realistically, what would it all be? Colwill will be left back. Gusto will actually be right back. Thiago Silva will be right centre back, and it will be De Sassi actually, possibly, or Badiashile. Ugh. Either way, that's what it will be.
He's just not been in the race as bad as Shield this season, has he? At all. Like, he's still not fully fit. And you would have thought that maybe these were the games where you'd play him, but he's just not. He's just too much of a risk.
Yeah, but then the thing is with this game is I was hoping that this second leg would be a game where we can just get people up to speed. But obviously we can't. We now need to win it. So we can't really muck around. Especially as Borough realistically are just going to sit because they know what we're not very good at. They've got a lead. As I say, something tangible to hold on to. So they just need. The longer that game goes on, the more likely it is that Borough leave with a win and get to the League Cup final. So I. It's not the game to muck around, unfortunately, that I hoped it might be. Maybe slightly arrogantly, I don't know. But I think you were the most sort of cautious of this game. But anyway, midfield wise, what do you think?
It's no messing about. It has to be the strongest 11. It has to be. There's no ifs, buts and maybes. And then obviously I know people might be cautious thinking about, you know, the FA Cup against Aston Villa. But I'm looking at this game going, do you know what? If this is our best chance of getting a trophy, I understand we're doing much better in the league, you know, statistically. But eye test wise, I'm not so sure. I would go full strength. I'd go Gallagher, Caicedo and I'd go for Enzo and just go for it. And then I think, realistically, front three picks itself.
See, I wouldn't go Gallagher.
What would you do?
I'm a bit fed up with Gallagher at the moment. I would go Caicedo, Enzo as a double pivot. I'd go Palmer in the 10 role. I would go Madueke and Mudryk. And then I guess it has to be Broyer by process of elimination. Sterling's slowing things down at the moment too much. I know he won the penalty against Fulham, but... and Gallagher as well has just been a bit slow. I think we need to be... Realistically, Gallagher I want to bring on that 60th minute. Hopefully we've got a lead by then and he just shuts them down, brings on his energy, and that's what he's very good at. I just worry if we play Gallagher, we play Sterling, got Cole at left back, it's all just going to be very slow again and turgid, and that's exactly what Middlesbrough want. So I think we need to come with the intensity and basically play like we did against City. If we do that, then there's no way that Middlesbrough are going to cope with us. Like we're giving them... You know, maybe a little bit too much respect here, but because they did beat us last time. But they are 10th in the championship. They're no like Real Madrid here. We should be beating them, but we've got to go out and come out with the intensity, as I say. You know, it being a League Cup semi-final, second leg that we're trailing in. But that's just what I'd do anyway.
No, I. You know what? I agree with that team. I think that's what it needs to be. And like you said, I think the intensity is important. I feel like Breuer. This is a game where he can bring that. I think at the Riverside he was unlucky on a couple of occasions, and against Championship opposition he shines. Granted, he hasn't been so good recently, but hopefully, I think the physicality will come. Whether or not that's in a Chelsea shirt is debatable. We'll talk about that later. But look, I think that what we need is we do need someone with a presence of some description. And I think that will allow for Cole Palmer, allow for, you know, Noni Madueke, Mikhailo Mudryk and our team to go and really make a difference. I think Mikhailo Mudryk, if I'm him right now, I'm extremely annoyed that I am not getting 90 minutes. Because if anyone in this team right now deserves to get full games and hasn't had them yet, it's him. Noni Madueke, do you know what? You know, I, as I said a couple of weeks ago, and I sort of am eating my own words, which is quite nice to be doing. Noni Madueke right now, if you look at that Brentford game when he played at the beginning of the season and you look at his performances now, it's night and day. It's two completely different players. And Noni Madueke has been fantastic. So, yep, I agree with that. And then Palmer in the 10, he's a player that can give us that magic. So we will have to see what happens. But that is the Echo 11. Let us know your thoughts in our Twitter, obviously. Give us a... or well, no, let's call it Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. That's probably what we should be calling it. Let us know your thoughts, obviously. Give us a follow. It's been great getting some engagement on there at the moment. You guys have been fantastic. Nearly at 25,000 followers. So give us a little nudge. Tell your nan. Say, nan, download Twitter. And when she goes, why should I download Twitter? Because she's from Morecambe. I don't know why. You know, Ethel from Morecambe's going to be going, why should I download Twitter? Or X, formerly known as Twitter. And then you go, because nan, the Chelsea Echo's on there, and you want to hear everything they have to say, because they say really important stuff. And then when you need to find the selling point, and she goes, why should I listen to them? Just say they talk about Greggs and Northern food. And she'll go, I like the sound of that. I should give that a listen. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Anyway, Act 3, analysis. Let's get straight into it. Tom, that win against Fulham, grinding it out in the end, that little bit of magic at the end of the first half where I managed to find out who the Zodiac killer was. It was you, apparently. That's what I found out. How important was that win against Fulham? And why are you the Zodiac killer?
I deny the latter, obviously. The win against Fulham was, well, it was important mainly, I mean, it was important anyway, because every game's important for us at the moment due to our start to the season. It's also Fulham, obviously a team that it's a bit embarrassing for us to lose to, because they're sort of a kind of little neighbour syndrome kind of thing. And because of the first leg against Middlesbrough, that was the game before that one, lost that one. So I think we lose that game at Fulham, that's a problem, and the pressure starts to build on the players. Young players don't need pressure, they already have enough, so they need to have a little bit of confidence, and that's when we see them at their best. Generally, I think Cole Palmer proved in that game that he is kind of immune to that sort of, you know, he had a bad game, a terrible game in fact you could say, against Middlesbrough, and he bounced back and he was fine against Fulham. Not exceptional, but he was fine, and he took his penalty with aplomb, did his job, move on, we got the win, 3 points, clean sheet. Record at home stands since way back to October. So yeah, it was good. It was an important win, but you know, obviously then we have, when was that on the 13th? I think so. That's 10 days between that game and this game against Borough. So you know, obviously quite a long time to sort of add to that and hopefully improve on it. And as I say, intensely beat Middlesbrough. That sounds dodgy, but you know what I mean.
Intensely beat Middlesbrough. Yeah, no, it is the case. Hopefully those players are well rested. That is a big thing that I was worried about. Noni Madueke was doing like warm weather training, which was amazing to see him be doing that in his own time. Yeah. So, you know, that's pretty awesome that he's putting the work in. Not saying the other players aren't, but, you know, to see him doing that extra yard is really good, and very, very happy to see him doing that. But, yeah, no, it was important, and you're right. It's making the most of it. And the thing you touched on there, as much as we're worried about our form, we are unbeaten since the 27th of October. That's a massive, 28th. Massive thing. 28th, apologies. 28th of October. You know, that's a big, big thing. And that kind of hopefully will lead us nicely into a good result and a big result. But, you know, now we know what Borough are about, how do you beat them? You know, we've named our 11. But as much as we'd love that to be the team, realistically, we know it's not going to be the case. If you're looking at what Pochettino's going to pick, what worries you about that? And also, what makes you think about, okay, maybe this is what we should be doing and what we should expect?
Yeah, I think we know that they're realistically going to be sitting back, and they won't mind us having the ball. We had 82% of the possession in the second half. in the first leg. I think 72% overall. So they don't mind. They won't mind us having the ball. I think the factor for them is, well, they don't need to score yet. Maybe they will if we get an early goal. Then that changes things. Then it's level. But again, if it's level, they're fine sitting back, taking us maybe all the way to penalties and trying to win that way. They know. They know here they're still the underdog, even with a 1-0 lead. So I thought they defended pretty well in the second half, although they didn't have an awful. We didn't test them much. You know, they play three at the back, so they can make that very compact. And if they're sort of midfield three or two, whatever they're playing, I think it was three and then two up top. Well, maybe they played wingers, I'm not sure. But whatever they do, they can come back in and make it really a compact. And then suddenly it's almost like eight men there, and then you obviously, you know, your attackers drop deep too. So it's going to be 10 men behind the ball. We've faced it plenty of times this season before, and we've struggled. But not every time. We have broken it down before. So we're going to have to do that. As I say, they don't need to score. And Michael Carrick will be drilling that into them. We don't need to score if you can just defend and shut them out. So we need to make them need to score. And if they have to start attacking and actually playing football, that's when we should be able to comfortably beat them. But that's what we've got to expect. And you know, as I said, we've had it plenty of times this season and struggled. Hopefully we can finally learn our lesson and put a team away.
Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? I think the only time I've felt confident in Chelsea going forward was in that Luton game. And then look what happened after half... Well, while we're up. And then look what happened with half an hour to go. You know, that's something where you're like, oh, Christ, okay, like, what are we going to be dealing with here? Like, I just hope we can do something with that. I mean, I think in terms of players to watch out for, their right winger, who ran Levi Colwill ragged, is going to cause us problems again. He got man of the match in the previous game, I think. And, you know, he's a player which, you know, in fairness, looks quality. Do you know what? I mean, it's going to sound, you know, sound ridiculous, I think, in some cases. You know, credit where it's due. Some people, when I say it sounds ridiculous, they might be listening, why are we giving credit to them for winning? You know, we should have won that game, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. But Mike Carrick is actually doing very, very well as a manager. And Middlesbrough, despite being 10th in the league, are actually playing some pretty good football. And they showed that against us. You know, they can play with the ball, they can play without the ball. So, you know, this is a side which, right now, as much as they're the underdogs, they know they're in the driving seat, as Tom said. And, you know, we just got to make sure that our left side is as strong as it can be. I mean, having said that, you know, who's going to be key for us in this situation? Who are going to be the players which we look at? And let's take the obvious out of the equation right now. Let's take Cole Palmer out of the equation. Let's just look at it and go, do you know what? We expect him to do his stuff. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Who else do you look at in that team right now and go, they're going to step up and make the difference?
Yeah, I think in terms of players you can take out, that I'd probably take Gusto out of it as well, because I think he's been exceptional the last few games. So we kind
absolutely
of expect him to carry on and hopefully make those overlapping runs and cause problems like that. But I think in terms of who do we want to step up, who's key for us, who you know, can help us win this game and get through, I think it's going to be the two wingers. Whoever the two wingers are, they're the ones who are going to be realistically the most important in terms of beating a man and either passing it into the box or scoring themselves. And I think Mudryk and Madueke can cause absolute havoc against Middlesbrough. I thought, you know, Madueke has played pretty well recently. Couple of a little bit inconsistent, I'll be honest, but again, young player, you expect that. I think he's been better than Sterling, definitely.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt.
So I definitely want to see those two play, causing problems. I think they can be key. And then, like you touched on as well, Broya for the goals. He's the man. He's got to take command and go in confidently. You know, he's scored goals in the Premier League. He's good in the air. You know, if the right ball comes for him from Gusto or whoever it may be, get on it. Go leap for it and put it in the back of the net. You know, we only need one goal and suddenly they've got to play, as I said, get a couple and hopefully we can get to Wembley.
Well, that's the big thing, that the record at home is there. We've got to make sure we get it right. Is it a case of we got to right what's wrong and just basically go for it, or just Wembley at all costs? Like, it is like that is the goal at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, I guess, because, you know, I think that, you know, that Middlesbrough game was the low point of the season, probably, for most people. I think that was the point most Chelsea fans, even the sort of most adamantly Poch in, started to question him slightly, just because, you know, it was so flat and it was really, really bad. And when Middlesbrough scored and we barely looked like scoring ourselves despite having all the ball, that was a low point. But I don't think we can think about it like that. The players certainly can't. You know, they've got to go in and maybe think, right, these guys are not terrible. They can play a bit themselves. We know what they're going to do. We just got to get past them. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's a League Cup semi-final, second leg. Whatever you think about the League Cup, you know, look at where Chelsea are at the moment in the league, ninth. We're not going to be getting in the top four, let alone winning the league or anything like that. FA Cup, we've got a tough game, and it's only early in that stage, so who knows? This is realistically, like you already said, our best chance at winning a trophy. It's a massive opportunity for some of these players to get to Wembley for the first time, for Pochettino to get to Wembley for the first time at Chelsea, and possibly for the first time in a cup final.
League Cup final, sure. 2015, when we beat them. He was a manager.
No, he did do that. Oh, there you go. So for Poch as well, then, a chance to get back to Wembley and win his first major trophy in England. You know, there are all these sort of little things that are part of it. But yeah, I think it is just win at all costs, get there. I don't really care if we only win 1-0 and then win on pens. Doesn't matter. Obviously, I'd rather we didn't do that, but get there, get to Wembley, and that's what we've got to do.
Absolutely. And I agree. I think, obviously, you know, there's also a big chance to face up to Liverpool and hopefully do something against them, because I think, you know, first game of the season, if it's anything to go by, we've got the capacity to do so. I strongly believe this team's got great capabilities, so we've got to hope that they can do it. But having said that, I've added a little bit to the script, which I shouldn't do, because, you know, Tom is script writer. Because Tom is scriptwriter extraordinaire, I kind of feel bad, but also don't. Because there's two big talking points to talk about that have happened over the past 24 hours since we were recording. And obviously, I'm no doubt there's going to be more, so this news might become slightly outdated in the next few days. But it's kind of two longer forms and things which might play out differently. Obviously, with the news of Chelsea looking at centre-forwards, it's been a bit of a whirlwind day for us in terms of news on the 17th. Of January, but obviously I'm sure it will expand and go on, because the day started off with Chelsea saying that they are happy to sell Armando Broya, but not bringing a centre forward, to which everyone kind of looked at it a bit like, you know, it's all well and good selling a player which we think isn't performing, we can get a good fee for, but when you're struggling for goals, you want to, let me just check notes, go for the rest of the season with one centre forward. Right, okay, that makes no sense. Later on in the day, more news came out about Chelsea maybe looking at centre-forwards. Roberto Firmino was looked at. Apparently he's not leaving Saudi at all. He's not doing a Jordan Henderson and just going after 6 months. But then there was another certain centre-forward who said he's been stuck in Mauritius, called Karim Benzema, who apparently is exploring his options, and Chelsea are firmly on the table. Tom, should we talk a little bit about Benzema? And let's just try and not say the words, yes, please. Let's try and expand.
Si, por favor. or I should say, oui, s'il vous plaît, because he's French, isn't he? But yeah, look, obviously he's the kind of player, like last season with Joao Felix, we all got excited about that. And that seemed to be what they did last, and Enzo, obviously, they just kept giving us these new toys. Like, oh, here you go, guys, we keep getting excited and then we're still losing and we're still rubbish. But I do think that, you know, generally this season we've played a lot better than last year. The one thing we just still can't do is take our chances and score goals. Karim Benzema has made rather a habit of scoring goals and putting himself in the right place. Obviously, a very experienced player as well, which is something we're also lacking. So, yeah, I think he'd be the perfect signing on a six-month loan before we then go and sign our actual, you know, long-term number nine, whoever that may be. And by the way, do not give them number nine, but position number nine. Whether that be Osimhen or Tony or whoever it is, Watkins, Solanke, whatever we do, I think it'd be a great little six-month deal. Try and propel us up the league, get us as high as we can get. You know, maybe sixth or even fifth. I mean, that's probably beyond our realm, but you never know. If we go on a good run, there's still 17 games left or something like that. So that's a lot of football to be played. And, you know, these other teams up at the top end have still got there. They're all in their European Cups. If they go deep in them, they're going to be playing a lot of games. You know, it's a big opportunity, I think, for this board to really do a good thing here and kind of repair a bit of a wrong that they didn't sign a proper number nine in the summer by going, here's Benzema, Poch, use him for 6 months and we'll give you someone in the summer. In terms of Broya, yeah, I think you nailed it with the why would we do that with only one number nine, but I also think if we were to bring in Benzema and sell him, on the proviso that we're then going to sign someone in the summer, then I think that's good. That's smart,
I agree.
To be honest, because as much as I quite like Breuer, as I've said before, I just don't think he's going to cut the mustard at Chelsea, sadly.
No, I agree. I mean, I put the tweet out earlier when I was like, why would you go the rest of the season with one centre-forward? And people were screaming and going, well, he's not exactly done anything for us, has he? Like, why would you not send him? It's like, because if you look at the situation we're in this game specifically, no Nico Jackson, no Christopher Nkunku, you know, why would you sell him right now if you have no one else to go down the middle? Would you trust Raheem Sterling to play on the right now? No. You know, would you put Cole Palmer down the middle? Only if you really had to. You know, it's stuff like that where it's like, well, why are we putting ourselves in that position when we can just keep hold of someone who can offer something a little bit different, who does just need an arm around the shoulder, who does need some coaching? But, you know, if Benzema comes in, I'm not going to sit there and go, nah, it's a terrible idea. There was a couple of eyebrows raised and devil's advocate arguments played, which I would like to put forward, as much as, you know, I agree. And I know me and Tom and Tobes have a tendency to all just agree with each other, which is not exactly great viewing. So what do you think? Yes, we all say the same thing all the time. What if, right, if you look at Chelsea's history of loaning players in, specifically in that position and specifically in January, let's just rattle off some names. João Felix,
Higuain,
Alexandre Pato, Falcao, Quaresma, obviously was a winger, but he came in January as well. History's not been too kind to Chelsea's six-month loanees.
No. But I think, certainly in the case of Pato, Higuain, Falcao, they were kind of already done. They were coming in as a little, let's see what we can do. Like, Falcao had already been at United and was terrible. Or was it the other way around?
No, he was at United first.
And he was terrible, and we thought, oh, we'll give him a go. Higuain, I thought Higuain would do better than he did, but I'll always remember that goal against Burnley, so there's that at least. Pato was cooked. He was done by like 20. He peaked so early. And then João Felix, I think João Felix could have worked in different circumstances, but sadly he came in a time where we were just so unsettled. He played all right, but that red card in his first game didn't help. So I don't know. I think out of all those players anyway, realistically, I'm very happy to say that Benzema is better than all of them. And, you know, it was only last season he was still at the very top of the European game. So I don't know how well he's done in Saudi, but he's only been there for 6 months. So, you know, surely he's still at a level where he can come into the Premier League and do well.
No, I agree. Just playing dead.
But I appreciate the argument.
Well, it's a case, I think if everyone gets excited, like we're saying, we talk about shiny new toys all the time. And it's like, oh my God, it's Benzema, it's great. It's like, okay, hang on. Can we just like take a step back and let's just look at it for the football? All right? There are a huge list of pros, but the cons, you know, they can have a big impact, even if the list is small. You mentioned 6 months in Saudi Arabia. It's like, okay, right, why, what's the situation? Like, is he not happy? Like, why is he like this? Why is he just, you know, gone for 6 months? And I think the other big thing, which is a massive issue, a huge issue, is obviously how Chelsea do the wage structures. And if you're going to bring in Benzema for 6 months, you're going to break it. But then at the same time, whoever you bring in the future, Ivan Toney, obviously, at the time of recording, came on Sky Sports today and said, oh yeah, I'm still looking for a big move. The day after, Thomas Frank went, I'm not selling him. So, you know, there's going to be a bit of friction there. There's a quality player there, Premier League proven. And obviously, Victor Osimhen was talked about as well. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that. But the last little bit of AOB, ALB, as Tom likes to call it, is a certain Mr. Jose Mourinho. He obviously got sacked from Roma a couple of days ago. He's out of the job, emotionally, absolutely torn to shreds, as you saw when he was leaving the stadium at Roma, leaving the training ground. Tom, Jose, talk to me.
Yeah, well, it's funny actually on that one, because I was speaking to a Roma fan today about it. I was wearing my Chelsea socks and he saw them and came up to me to talk about it and said, oh, you know, what do you think of Mourinho? I was like, well, yeah, you know, I'll always love the man, but is he not done in management? You know, is he? And actually another mate of mine spoke to me about how he would use Mourinho or how he would try and get Mourinho into Chelsea. And it was as a director rather than as the new manager. You know, he loves the club. He's got a lot of experience at the club. He knows how to make them successful. But I don't know if it's harsh to say, because he did get them to the Europa League final only last summer. But this season he's struggled. And you think, if you're struggling, no disrespect to Roma, if you're struggling at Roma, like, is he the kind of manager we want to bring into Chelsea? Would he do any better than Pochettino? Do we need to give Poch more time? These are all things that I think about. So, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't mind Mourinho coming back in as sort of, you know, director's role or somewhere, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing. But I don't think right now is the time to bring him in as a manager. If we were doing worse than we were, then it wouldn't be the worst idea to go, you know, here you go, Jose, 6 months, win us the League Cup. Fine. But I don't think it's a smart move, to be completely honest. As much as, you know, we all romanticise about it, I don't think it's the move for us.
I mean, I agree to a certain extent. Obviously, I think a lot of the story of Roma's left out by a lot of people. I'm not saying you've done that, by the way. I'm just saying in general, people go, he struggled at Roma, why would you want him? Jose Mourinho at Roma spent 130 odd million pounds, right?
Yeah.
111 of that was spent in the first transfer window.
First season, yeah.
This season it's all been loans, couple of free transfers, and obviously, with that being the case, the director of football was sacked because they didn't exactly give him a lot to work with. So, you know, Mourinho doing what he's done, I understand why people might think the way they do, but at the same time, you know, it's not completely his fault. And like you said, Europa League last year, Anthony Taylor did Anthony Taylor things. Obviously, what happened at the airport, completely wrong. But, you know, Anthony Taylor did Anthony Taylor things during the game. Year before that, won them their first trophy. And in the words, well, I'm going to quote George Benson on this, in a trophy drought that the Sahara would have been saddened by. You know, that's, you know, the case of he won them their first trophy in a lot of people's lifetimes. So that says a lot, especially people are for our age. We then go further back. Spurs got into a League Cup final, was sacked before he could take them through it. People then say he set them on a 4-year cycle, which they've only just recovered from. Have they recovered from it? We'll have to see, because they got top four with Antonio Conte as well. But maybe for me, I think especially Tottenham, it's a big culture thing. I just don't think it works having serious winners there. You can say what you like about Ange Postecoglou, he might be a serious winner. He's done it with Celtic, done it in Japan, done it in Australia. But having said all of that, you know, he still fits a certain mould. Maybe not elite, but we'll have to see what happens. Before that, we'll look at United, highest win percentage since Fergie. Before that, obviously Chelsea, we know what he did with us. Before that, he was at Real Madrid, got them their highest points tally ever. Before that, Inter Milan, still the only manager to ever win a treble in Italy. Before that, obviously, et cetera. We can go all the way back. His track record speaks for itself. If you gave him the tools, it would work. But having said all of that, would he work in this current Chelsea setup with this ownership, with those technical directors? Absolutely fucking not. I just think that's the case of being, we're going to be honest. He just wouldn't work. So it's very much a case of heart says yes, head says no. But Mourinho, we'll have to see what happens. But I have no doubt that he will become the Chelsea manager again in our lifetime. Just not right now. That is it. Let us know your thoughts on Mourinho, on Breuer, on Benzema, all that good stuff. But this has been a Highway 61 production brought to you by their network. Fantastic content on Highway 61. Tom, can you tell everyone what else can be found on Highway 61?
Well, if you're a fan of Stats Shuggers, and particularly the historical content of Stats Shuggers, then you will absolutely adore The Blueprint, where they delve deeper than many have gone before and many will go after into the history of Chelsea Football Club. And they go really, really deep under the watchful eye of Gary Hayes. You'll hear some big names on there. And so just, I'm not going to give you any more than that, because you need to go and hear who you might hear and find out for yourselves. But yeah, an excellent podcast. Done very well, obviously nominated for a very prestigious award. So yeah, go check them out, listen to it, enjoy it. And then when you're done listening to the past of Chelsea, come back and listen to the present, aka us.
Exactly, come and do that. But then with that as well, obviously, when you say to listen to us, you can also listen to the future, because we actually predicted it in this week's Premier League spoilers, which we did last week.
Nice.
So you can come and listen to us tell you exactly what's going to happen, because I'm not going to lie, Tom and I specifically had an absolute howler last week. So
I've been okay. Last week was terrible.
Last week, me and you had a howler. So it's all change in the Premier League spoilers table, but you have to listen to it to find out. But other than that, guys, please make sure you follow all the socials for the Chelsea Echo, Instagram, Twitter, and obviously make sure you contact us and all that stuff if you've got questions and stuff you want to talk about, because we would like to start getting questions and hearing what you have to think, because it would be nice to have that and have someone, you know, we can bully every week who sends us a question, who says something stupid. But yeah, let's know your thoughts.
Oh yeah, that'll get them to send them in.
Exactly. Well, they can bully us as well. Just tell us we're shit. We like to hear how shit we are. But make sure you engage the Echo, guys. Tell your pals, tell your family, tell your gran Ethel when you tell her about the Greggs bit. And we will see you later. Ta-da.